This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
You ever just feel like it's going to be one of those interesting days? If you're an NBA fan, it has turned into that, as injuries have been the big headline this morning, and now the King has chimed in on Twitter. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. I'm Jason Fitz, in for Max. You guys can chime in, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. My question to you, all these injuries, all these young stars in the NBA, we're getting different names. Are you more interested in the playoffs or less interested? Be honest. Like, you less likely to watch as we continue to go through if we don't have household names playing? And if you got to learn about some of these players along the way? Or do you love it? What's your thoughts on it? You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Max Kellerman Show presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. I've got some big NFL takes I just gave you a few minutes ago. We'll talk to Jeff Saturday in about 10 minutes. We'll see if he thinks I've lost my mind. In the meantime, LeBron is out on Twitter, and he is not holding back talking about injuries. Now, if you missed the news, Kawhi Leonard may miss the remainder of the Clippers series versus the Jazz. He's expected to miss game five, right knee injury. We talked to Ramona Shelburne earlier. She pointed out that obviously swelling in the knee keeps him from knowing the full extent of the injury right now, but it doesn't look good or promising for Kawhi to get back into this series against the Jazz. So can the Clippers manage to win that? And then, unrelated to any sort of a normal injury, Phoenix Suns point guard Chris Paul has entered the NBA's health and safety protocols. He'll be out indefinitely. Now, this is part of COVID-19. So for anyone that doesn't know, according to different reports, we have different information. We're not 100% sure if Chris Paul is vaccinated. He hasn't spoken to that. If he is vaccinated, he could be facing a really short absence. Got to have two negative COVID-19 tests. You can get back in. If he's not vaccinated, it can be a much longer process. So we don't know yet what it means. And it does mean that this historic year continues. We are looking at more All-Stars have missed games in the playoffs than ever before in NBA history. LeBron tweeted about it saying, quote, "They all didn't want to listen to me about the start of the season. I knew exactly what would happen. I only wanted to protect the well-being of the players, which ultimately is the product and benefit of our game. These injuries aren't just part of the game. It's the lack of pure rim rest before starting back up. 8, possibly 9 All-Stars have missed playoff games, most in league history. This is the best time of year for our league and fans, but missing a ton of our fave players. It's insane. If there's one person that knows about the body and how it works all year round, it's me. I speak for the health of all of our players, and I hate to see this many injuries this time of the year. Sorry, fans. Wish you guys were seeing all your favorite guys right now." That's LeBron's take on the injury. What's yours? I mean, it's really easy right now to step up and say, well, the season and the compacted schedule has got to be the cause. Now, I've said it myself, but as Ramona also pointed out with us earlier, I mean, we're not going to lump Chris Paul into this conversation, right? Like, that's a COVID-19 issue. That has nothing to do with when they play. And do we know that Kawhi Leonard, for example, injured his knee in a game because of the schedule? I mean, you can look at hamstrings, certainly. You can look at soft tissue and say, hey, this could be a factor, but we don't know. I get where LeBron's coming from, but it's also really easy right now, with hindsight, to be able to stand up and talk about this. I mean, how hard did the NBA players fight for a shorter season? Were they willing to take less money to play? Did they want a truncated season that was only going to be 45 or 50 games to protect their bodies? And while that may protect LeBron, does that protect everybody else in the league? Now, one thing that LeBron says, "I hate for the health of our players, and I hate to see this many injuries. Sorry, fans. Wish you guys were seeing all your fave guys right now." What LeBron is forgetting is that there's this whole crop of young stars that are fun to watch. There's a whole crop of young stars that I think benefit from getting this extra exposure. If you've ever listened to me with Sarah Spain and I, Spain and Fitz, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday on ESPN Radio, we talked a lot about one of the issues that women's sports face, which is better storytelling. You got to get more invested in the individual athletes and the stories around them, because the more you tell those stories, the more people are interested in watching their games. It's not that much different than what we do in the NFL. Think about it. When you watch NFL shows, you're going to hear a lot about the Cowboys. So when the Cowboys are on TV, because they're such a big brand, it sort of resonates. You might not most years hear as much about a team like the Titans. So it takes longer for them to get that attention. It's the way storytelling works through all of this. Now, storytelling in the NBA has been all about where teams are going to be in the future. For the last several years, we've spent the majority of the playoffs talking about upcoming contracts. Think about Giannis's situation. We've been looking any other year. Giannis struggles. We're going to have some conversation about the Supermax and what Milwaukee is doing. It's exactly what we did last year. Anytime that we have the opportunity to look to the future in the NBA, that's typically what we've done. Oh, who's going to join with who at the end of the season? How are we going to break up these super teams? Is it become dominated by just a few people? These are all real conversations we have at about this time of the year, every stinking year. But this year, we don't have to do that. See, I think one of the biggest benefits the NBA has right now is that the NBA today is interesting and unpredictable. Is it as good without some of the stars? I don't know. I mean, I love watching Kawhi Leonard play. And so watching the Clippers without Kawhi certainly is different. But when you start talking about the Donovan Mitchell story, is that not worth gravitating towards? I keep using the Suns as such a big example in my mind because Ayton and Booker weren't really somebody that most people were talking about. But then CP3 goes there, oh, a known brand. And now all of a sudden, we pay a little more attention to the Suns. Where LeBron sees fault to the product, I see benefit. Maybe not short term, but long term, oh, heck yes. Long term, you can't tell me that getting young stars opportunities to have bigger audiences doesn't matter. Look at what we saw in the first round with Ja Morant. How many of you guys actually during the regular season thought, you know what, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to watch a Memphis Grizzlies game? I happen to love the guys in Memphis. I get to talk to that station a lot. Jason and John are my boys. So I watch a lot of Grizzlies basketball just because I love hanging out with them. But how many people realistically were discovering Ja Morant, especially casual fans, in the playoffs? How many people had heard of Trae Young, but didn't really know much other than, oh, he's a skinny kid that shoots? And then all of a sudden, what do you see? You see the shush. I said it before, I'll say it again, till I'm blue in the face. Beating the Knicks doesn't make you a legend. Beating the Knicks doesn't make you a hated person in New York. Shushing Spike Lee? Totally different situation. That's why I think the NBA is in this great benefit right now. Young talent gets the chance to emerge. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Some other big news right now. Stan Van Gundy out after one season with the Pelicans. The New Orleans Pelicans finished 31-41 this last season. Did not make the play-in tournament. Van Gundy's only shot on the sideline there for a team that has some talent. I think we had higher expectations. Cough, Ja Morant in Memphis, right? Like, we expect these young guys to come in and immediately make a difference at a playoff level. Also, Scott Brooks out as the Wizards coach after their contract talks broke down. So, Washington obviously eliminated in the first round. A tough team to figure out. Washington very bad, then very good. But they couldn't come to an agreement on a new deal with the Wizards. So, as a result, he's out as head coach. You end up with a bunch of openings, but the significance of those openings is how many of them involve incredible players. At this point, five of the six teams with a vacancy in 2021 have an all-star. Sorry, I should say that again. Five of the six teams with the vacancy have a 2021 all-star. So think about that. I mean, you're looking at the Trailblazers are open, the Celtics are open, the Wizards are open, the Pacers are open, Pelicans are open. And the Magic don't have an all-star, but they have three. They have top three lottery odds and the possibility of two lottery picks if the Bulls selection doesn't move up. So you're talking about a lot of equity there with head coaching opportunities. I think it's interesting when you look across the board. If you're an NBA prospect as a head coach, man, this is a good time to want to get in. Because we all know it's a star-driven league. But the flip side of that is when you get in, you better have immediate success. There is absolutely no waiting period to have success with young talent in the NBA. We'll break down some of those different opportunities that are open in a little bit. But I mentioned it earlier. I want to talk to him now. My buddy Jeff Saturday, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. It's the Max Kellerman Show. Jason Fitz sitting in for Max. So, Jeff, hear me out. Okay, I'm gonna give you my thoughts quickly as I can. And it's not going to be pro player. So I know that this rubs some people the wrong way. But I'm just looking at everything from a business side. If I'm the Packers, knowing that I can get so little compared to what Aaron Rodgers is worth in return, knowing that he'd have to write me a $32 million, roughly, dollar check to walk away and retire, and knowing that I don't want to speed up the Jordan Love process and I can make Aaron Rodgers the bad guy through all of it, Why would I possibly trade him even if he wants to be traded?
You don't. There is no way you trade Aaron Rodgers if you're the Green Bay Packers. Like you are literally sealing your own fate for your job, because he's going to go somewhere, and you know they'll build a team around him. There'll be success. Your team won't be as successful, or potentially might not be as successful. And then everybody's going to look at you like, "Hey, look what you just did." And so I 100% agree. I think you play the long game and you force him. And I think ultimately Aaron will play this season. I think he is a competitive guy. And I think it, you know, when it gets time, when the season starts, I mean, everybody's hitting panic and it's June. I mean, the truth is none of us even consider really playing until August. And so once you get into that August and early September time frame, the itch comes on and you start feeling and your body clock's telling you, hey, and you're seeing all your boys play and you miss them and you're talking to them. And I think that's ultimately what happens. And I think then, you know, whatever they do this year, they do. I think they are Super Bowl contenders, if not maybe the favorite, especially from a health perspective, if they stay healthy. And when you look at that, you think Jordan Love, even if Jordan Love was successful this season, it's still going to be a failure if you don't get to the NFC Championship game or Super Bowl. I don't think he's going to take that team there. So, you know, to your point, I think that's exactly how they have to play this, and they're in it to do that. You cannot trade him. You have got to force him not to play, because he will make you pay. And that will be a major regret for your organization.
Well, and with that being said, we're talking to Jeff Saturday, ESPN NFL analyst. Jeff, you know, I keep looking at the Russ video from yesterday where he comes up, puts his arms around Pete Carroll, and he's like, hey, we're still friends. I mean, can you just immediately kumbaya? Can these things be resolved in a way that everybody can come together?
Oh, yeah. Listen, I don't think this is an issue with LaFleur and Rodgers anyway. I mean, the truth is – It's a very personal business, but it's more from the coaching staff inward, right, to the locker room. Once you get to the management side of the business, whether it be Mark Murphy, you know, general managers, you know, guys in the front office, you don't have day-to-day contact. Now, you might see them, but they can easily avoid you, right? Like, everybody knows when the players are in the weight room, the lunch room, the practices, right? So you're not going to, like, completely avoid him. You know, you may come out and watch him practice, but as far as the personal contact, you can definitely limit it where you don't have any type of drama and work your way around, and you just allow LaFleur to do his thing. And listen, they for whatever it is, whether you like him or not, LaFleur and Rodgers' relationship has been extremely productive, and both of those guys understand they're better for it. And so I don't think that would be difficult. I just think the relationship of seeing somebody day to day, you would just probably make yourself a little more scarce if you're in the front office as opposed to maybe your normal regimen, right? That you come in and have breakfast or lunch with the guys every so often. Maybe you skip that for this year until Aaron finally moves on and the organization kind of gets back to normal.
Yeah, that's just sage advice there. Like, go to coach, if you're listening right now, just change your work clock. Like, just find a different time to come in and out. Like, it just seems to be natural. We're talking to Jeff Saturday on the Max Kellerman Show. Jason Fitz sitting in for Max. And so, you know, that's one quarterback. A lot of conversation on another quarterback that's a much more difficult situation with Deshaun Watson. So I'll say quickly and clearly for anybody listening, the allegations that Deshaun Watson are facing are far bigger than anything that has to be done on the football side. So we want to be very clear on that. Aside from that, the Texans do need to figure out what to do. And I'm not sure how you trade, how another team can give up something to trade for someone with all of this over his head. So if you're the Texans as an organization, how do you process what you've got to do with the quarterback that you have no idea if you can even move him?
Yeah, I think you just laid that out as well as you can possibly lay it out. Is they are stuck in purgatory, right? Like they have a quarterback, and like you said, irrespective of all the charges that he's dealing with on the personal side, that's already said he doesn't want to be a Texan. So you were already dealing with a guy who didn't want to be a part of your organization, and now, so as you're trying to move him, there's not a team in the league that's going to take that on until all of that stuff is cleared up or, you know, figured out. And so as you're having these conversations, I think it's next to impossible. And I honestly feel like the Texans have done a pretty good job with Taylor and then Davis Mills. I mean, there's not a whole lot more you could have done from the organization perspective, because you've already given Deshaun this massive contract, right? You don't know how, because I have no idea, like, what's in the contract for the actions that are possible. Who knows how deep that rabbit hole goes. So from the organization's perspective, I think they have done about as good a job as you can do of steadying the ship, bringing in a guy who has had opportunities to start and has really lost them because of injury. And the last one, Justin Herbert, is kind of a weird thing, right? A doctor kind of issue. And how crazy is that for Tyrod Taylor? But I think you have a quarterback in there that can definitely guide your football team. And then obviously Mills with the draft pick, who knows what he'll look like. But I think they've done as good a job stabilizing that. And you know they are begging for, you know, the suitors, right? Whether it be the Dolphins or someone else to take a chance on Deshaun Watson after all of the legal issues are discussed. And who knows from the league's perspective what they're going to do. It's just there's too many unknowns for any team to even be in the thought process of Deshaun Watson right now.
Talking to Jeff Saturday, ESPN NFL analyst. So a lot was made on social media the other day about Tua struggling in practice, throwing a bunch of picks. I need a former player to really, like, give me insight here. When you're sitting at OTAs and things like that, at what point do you actually start to get concerned about whatever you see from your quarterback in those?
So here's the thing. I think it's all in context, right? You've heard there was terrible weather down there, so – you know, who knows how the rain affected anything. The concern for me, Fitz, is that the conversation that he had about not knowing the playbook or that he did not have the command of the offense that he felt like he should have had last year, that would bother me when you come out and have this type of day, because then it kind of puts the thought in your head of, okay, so where are we now? Is this study? Is this a bad read? Is it bad throws? If it's physical, you're not nearly concerned, right? Because you get it. Ball's wet, whatever it is. There's a million different things. The defense is running a look. You're not, you know, your coach is asking you to try to feed this thing in there. There's no way it's going to happen. You get it. Everybody gets it. But there's the other side of you as a player that goes, hey, this is bad reads, right? This is a guy who – he's not processing well, and whether it's June or August or the beginning of September, I know we had a rule in practice. We don't turn the ball over. Like we are not in the business of giving it to the guys who aren't in the same helmet or the same, you know, shoulder pads or the jersey as we are. So that is always like that. That's the fatal flaw for offense. It's the number one determining factors in wins and losses. Like every coach will tell you the same thing. So there is a level of concern. I'm not in panic mode with two of, oh, you know, you got, he's not the guy. I think it's way, way early to even have those discussions, but you just want him to be, to be thoughtful in the conversation. You don't have to tell everybody everything, right? You know what I mean? It's like I appreciate it being in the media right now, but like I would love to just sit there because he's a great kid and go, hey, man, like I love you, bro. You don't got to tell everybody everything. Like, let's just keep a couple things close to the vest. We can tell our coach, hey, I want to be stronger in this, but we don't got to be open, you know, to the whole world about where we felt like we were at that moment. You know what I mean? Like, let's just have a little growing from here, because not everybody is going to be kumbaya, you know, after you say that, right? So let's take a step back. Let's breathe a little bit and keep some things in-house. And I'm sure that's what Flores was thinking when he heard it. You know what I mean? Is just don't give anybody ammunition, right? We don't need that.
You guys can follow him on Twitter at Saturday Jeff. Jeff, as always, man, I appreciate the time, brother. Get some time off and rest. You know, it's almost fall, and that's going to be brutal. So just, you know, get a little rest, brother. You deserve it.
Love being with you, brother. Y'all have a great one, man.
Appreciate it. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. All right. Did they get the All-NBA teams right? No doubt. That's coming up next. The football offseason, though, is always wild. With all the trades, free agent signings, new coaching hires, teams have to be excited for the coming season. If you want to hire people that you're really excited about, got an easy solution. Team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. If only it was that easy for my beloved Raiders. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. God, if only finding a quarterback was that easy. To try ZipRecruiter for free, just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's again, ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. No Doubt is next on the Max Kellerman Show.
No
Jason
Doubt.
Sitting in for Max on the ESPN Radio and the ESPN and ESPN Plus. Yeah, that's what we're on.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. I'm Jason Fitz in for Max. You guys can hang out with me, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Also, shameless plug, if you've liked any of what you've heard the last couple of days, hang out with me and Sarah Spain. Spain and Fitz, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. If you missed any of the Max Kellerman Show today, we had a big one. Ramona Shelburne gives you some breaking big news that you need in the NBA. Jeff Saturday and I came together with, I think, the most controversial take you're going to hear about Aaron Rodgers on all of ESPN. You can find both hours of the show posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think of this.
No Doubt.
All right. You know how this works. Raj, come in. You give me the thoughts, and then I give you the doubt or no doubt to it, right? I mean, that's the fun. We got it.
That's right. That's right. Here's the first one for you. You remember Robbie Anderson and Sam Darnold used to play together for the Jets?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. So are you buying Robbie Anderson seeing a new glow in Sam Darnold?
I am buying this so hard. I'm going so full in on No Doubt to this. Like, there's certain people that I think need a little bit more validation. And there's nothing wrong with saying that Sam Darnold may be one of those guys that just really felt like he needed to be believed in. I think that they did a big thing with the Panthers when they basically said, we're not going to look anywhere else and we're going to invest in you. It gives him the only shot that he could really have to feel like he's believed in, and that matters to some people. So yeah, I think we get a different version of Sam Darnold this year. Also, let's not forget that we do know at least one time, proof of concept, Adam Gase was the problem with Ryan Tannehill, not Ryan Tannehill. So maybe he's out from under the shadow of Gase.
Okay, all right. That'll make some Trojan fans in L.A. out here happy. Hey, happy birthday to Tupac Shakur. So my question to you is, Fitz has a favorite Tupac song.
So this was a tough one. You know, Raj asked me earlier today, favorite Tupac song. I'm going with Changes. I will say that there was some controversy in my mind. Like, I Ain't Mad At You is like one of those that just has that rare ballady feel that still really works for me. And California Love is California Love. Like, I feel like it's almost disrespectful. Like, I'm trying to be cute by not making a California Love, but I don't know. Like, there was just something about the melody on Changes that always really rocked me. And by the way, just one of the best of the best at what he did, and absolutely an influence no matter what type of music you grew up listening to. If you've never checked out Tupac, then you should go back and listen to it, because you'll hear a ton of work that is still working today when it comes to samples and everything else that he did.
Yeah, absolutely. And it shows the variations, the ways he can write. I mean, come on, his writing styles, he was all over the place. But these thoughts like this on Changing are what made it, just set him apart, in my opinion. Yeah. Hey, you see, the NBA had their all NBA teams come out. So, hey, Fitz has got, you see a snub on the all-NBA teams anywhere, Fitz? You see one?
No, actually, you know what? I'm pretty good with the all-NBA teams. Like, I thought they did a nice job of it. I also think it's an incredibly difficult job in general to look at the all-NBA team. And then what you see so often, especially on social media, is somebody's going to yell about where it was wrong. And to that, I would say, okay, well, who are you taking off? Like, I don't think that this year was particularly controversial in my mind. Like, Steph, Luka, Giannis, Kawhi, and Jokic as your starting five really makes a ton of sense to me. The one thing I would say is that, as opposed to other sports, though, the All-NBA team has so much financial impact to the game itself. I think they need to be really careful. This year, I think it worked out really well. But every year, this is my reminder that they should make sure that whoever's voting takes that seriously and has the right things in mind where they're doing it, because you're messing with people's livelihoods when you have that vote.
Yeah, speaking of financial impact, Jason Tatum will not a fan of this year's teams. He lost millions on that.
Yeah, hey, like $32-40 million. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I cannot imagine having my career voted on by somebody else and then walking in and being like, "Great, so here's your new contract value." What? Woo!
Right, exactly. Hey, check it out. We talked about it, but you've heard the story of the lobster diver, the fisherman who was swallowed by a whale, right?
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, great story. Hey, well, now experts have questioned the fisherman's story of being swallowed by a whale. They say it can't be. He's a big, fat liar. So, Fitz, you believe the fisherman was swallowed by a whale?
No doubt.
No doubt.
Hey, here's why. A couple of things on this, Raj. Number one, you ever been at Thanksgiving and, like, you know that your grandpa is telling you something that's probably not true, but the story's so good you just don't care? Like, it's that like old person just sitting in the room and all of a sudden they've met everybody and there's that one time that they were hanging out with, you know, Martin Luther King. Like, you just, there's always some moment of, like, old people telling stories is part of the fun of life. I don't want to start questioning certain stories. This story is told so well. I'm treating it like my grandfather would. And it, like, I'm looking at it saying, even if it's not true, are you buying it? Because, like, I want to believe it.
I want to believe it. I don't believe whales want to hurt or eat us. But he said it was for a minute inside there. So my first thing was, okay, well, how are you breathing? I know you can hold your breath for a while. You hold it for a whole minute in air. So I don't know. I got some questions, man.
There's a lot of detail to a story, though. Like, maybe there's plenty of oxygen. Like, the whale's breathing. Can you not share oxygen with the whale, Raj?
I didn't think of it that way.
Sharing oxygen. I don't know these things.
I might have to reconsider. My bad.
All right, that's it. We're blowing up the rest of the week. I don't care if Max is coming back. I'm sitting here and we're going to talk whales the entire time. That's all that's going to happen. Don't forget, The Ultimate Fighter is back. The reality show that brings top MMA prospects together under one roof to compete for a UFC contract is on ESPN Plus. Stream new episodes every Tuesday only on ESPN Plus. You can also stream my show, The Max Kellerman Show. Well, it's Max's show, not mine. Along with hours of daily sports talk. Shameless plug, too. Check out Sports Nation, just because I get to be on that a lot. It's a fun show out there. All you have to do is sign up now at ESPNPlus.com/UFC. All right. I got breaking news. I got big breaking news. I've got massive breaking news. We'll give it to you next. Plus, the segment you've been waiting for to return, the Fitz Blitz. It's all coming up on The Max Kellerman Show. Jason Fitz sitting in for Max.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. I'm Jason Fitz in for Max. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to let you guys get in before the end of the show, I promise. I know you like to be interactive, and I love that portion of it. 888-729-3776. We've gotten into a lot today. But one of the big pieces of news today has inspired us. It is time to get in to the Fitz Blitz. I don't know if we had like a big sound effect. I thought we were going to have a big sound effect. Oh, I have to read something first. See, this is fourth wall, y'all. Fitz Blitz brought to you by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. And by the way, credit to Raj and Bubba on the show because they wrote that out, including in parentheses, pause for imaging. So they told me. I just apparently can't read. All right. I got to get this off my chest. At some point, what we're looking at right now across the NBA are openings everywhere when it comes to coaching with a ton of talent. As we mentioned earlier, five of the six openings have a 2021 All-Star on the roster. And you could look across it and say there's never been a better time to be an NBA coach than right now. To that, I would say, no, you're wrong. Why do you want that job? We've become so star-driven in the NBA that the fact is you get zero time. I mean, the Pelicans took 1 year with Zion before they're like, nah, it's a coaching issue. Zion's now 2 years into the league. He's had two different coaches. Think about the way we become in the NBA. It's all about the player. And as it becomes all about the player, then they try to get the right guys in that can get the best out of that individual group of players. But we rarely see that in other sports. It's rare that you look at the NFL and say, okay, here's our quarterback. Let's bring in the head coach that quarterback will like. Doesn't usually work that way. In the NBA, though, we've become absolutely so prisoner of the moment to what players want, and so prisoner of the moment to what culture is, that what we see are the same bunch of retread coaches over and over and over again. And what we'll do is we'll put a player-friendly coach on one roster because they need that. And then we'll fire that same player-friendly coach a couple of years later to bring in a disciplinarian because they need that. Realistically, other than the paycheck, I can't find any reason that somebody would want to be an NBA coach, as great as the talent is, knowing how quickly you will be replaced no matter what you do. It's a thankless job, and I wouldn't want anything to do with it. That is Fitz Blitz. Just love the fact that we get that in on both sides. Look at that. All right, I want you guys to chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN.
Wait. You're not going to compliment on that world-class production first. B and I took all morning to come up with that.
I mean, that
roll on past it.
I mean, can you? You know, it's good. It's good, Bubba. Like, I really appreciate the. It makes me feel a little Tecmo Bowl-ish, which I love. The '80s video game fanatic in me
great
loves
game.
That's the one game, by the way, the Raiders were perfect at. When you are a fan of a bad football team, you become a fan of football video games because it's the only way your team wins the Super Bowl.
That's so what it's like, come to for you.
Oh my God! Yeah, it came to that years ago. Why do you think I'm so good at Madden? Like the only
was
way
it
I get
Marcus Allen and Bo Jackson. Allen and Bo Jackson. Which one are you going to defend?
Yeah. Oh man, I went out and bought a Nintendo Switch just so I could play Tecmo Bowl on it. Like it's fun to watch. You know, the Family Guy episode where they literally spend the whole 3 minutes running Bo Jackson around. I'm all in for all of that. Can't even tell me it's a bad thing. Bubba, I appreciate the work on that. Raj, it was good by you too. I mean, Bubba hit the buttons though. He hit the buttons.
That's true. But
it's
I thought
Max, it's the Max Kellerman Show. Jason Fitz sitting in for Max. John in California. We've gone all over the place, John. I'll let you take us wherever you want to go, man. I know you want to chime in on the Clippers. What you thinking, John?
Yeah, no one's talking about this. Up 21 with 7.5 minutes left. Kawhi Leonard hadn't played in the fourth quarter. He had been on the bench for 30 minutes of real time with the commercials and everything with the third quarter ending. Up 21. Utah hits a crazy three-pointer to cut it to 18, right? Reggie Jackson misses two threes in a row, and then Ty Lue panics and throws Kawhi Leonard back in the game. Up 18 with 7 minutes left. He played two more minutes before the injury after not playing for 30 minutes. He played two more minutes. He risked the Clippers' whole chance to win an NBA championship for 2 minutes because he panicked. Now, if he doesn't think the Clippers were going to hold on and win, if your argument's going to be that by up 18 with 7 minutes left, then he can't possibly think they're going to beat Utah two games without Kawhi at all. Like no one's putting anything on Ty Lue for putting the guy, he wasn't even ready to come back in the game. He thought he was out of the game. He was looking for game five.
Well, look, and I appreciate your take on it, John. I don't think you're wrong on looking at Ty Lue a little bit here, but one thing you said there was at some point, if he didn't think that he could win, well, he's not going to win now. I got to be clear here. If Kawhi Leonard doesn't play, then there's no chance the Clippers win this series. I mean, to me, there's literally none. I just stick a fork in it. It's done. Wait to see next year. Take advantage of getting a little extra time to get healthy. You aren't beating this team without Kawhi Leonard. To me, that's clear. And frankly, from a coaching standpoint, I think you got to look at it like this is a lose-lose situation. If they were crumbling at that point, if they crumble through all the way through and they don't get the win, then we're all going to be looking at Ty Lue saying, well, you pulled everybody too early and all of a sudden you let him back in the game. I mean, it's a lose-lose situation from a coaching standpoint. They could never anticipate injury. I just don't think that there's any shot that they'd look at it and say, well, we're putting them in knowing that there's a chance. Nah, I mean, these are professional athletes that know how to get warmed up and know how to get ready to get in for a game. So is it terrible timing? Yes. Is it a bad move in hindsight? Yeah, but no matter what, it was going to be a bad move either way. I struggle to see what else could have been done. And realistically, again, this comes back to what every single team has been dealing with. The one comfort I can give you, Clippers fans, is that you're dealing with the same thing the rest of the NBA is dealing with. At some point, you got to look around and say, that's what this year is. This year is going to be defined not by who the best team was, but by which team was able to survive the rash of injuries. I said yesterday, I thought being healthy would be enough for Milwaukee. Well, it wasn't because of what the Nets did in an absolutely epic performance by KD. So now the question is, can Paul George do the same thing? I don't know if that's possible. Realistically, I keep looking at it saying there is no chance that the Clippers have enough depth now to win this series without Kawhi. I appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Check out Spain and Fit 7 or 9 p.m. Eastern. But coming up next, Chiney and Junior will get you caught up on all the news you need to know. Thanks so much for hanging out.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.